So I'm going to call this to order. This is the Senate Committee on General Government Accountability for Wednesday, February 22nd, we are in session. We're going to have a public hearing today on Senate Bill 481, and I'm going to ask the Attorney General's office to come and give us a rundown on what this bill does, if you would, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Riley, Vice Chair DeBoer, members of the committee. Thank you for holding this hearing on important reforms to the Oregon Public Records Law. My name's Ellen Rosenblum, and I'm the Oregon Attorney General. Transparency in government is an issue that I have cared deeply about for many years. As a law student representing the Oregon State Public Interest Research Group, and then as a young attorney, I developed a lasting appreciation for the importance of public access to government. And I should add that I have with me to my right here Michael Crone, who has been chairing the task force that I'll be talking about today. And of course, he's available for questions as well. The strength of our government institutions depends on public trust. And public trust can be quickly eroded when people don't feel that they have access to the work their government is doing, or when they cannot get answers to reasonable questions. It's probably not a coincidence that problems with access to public records have featured heavily in a number of high-profile controversies. Governor Brown made improving transparency one of the first pledges of her new administration. The benefits of a robust public record system which favors transparency whenever possible are enormous. Public records disclosures have shed light on the performance of various state tax credit programs, the extent of crude oil shipments by rail across Oregon, lead contamination in spaces used by the public, and myriad other subjects of profound interest to Oregonians. Before you conclude that these reflect great success stories of our law in action, however, you should know that in each of the cases that I'm thinking about, my office ultimately had to step in and order a public agency to take steps to comply with the public records laws. And those are hardly the only cases where that has been true. That is not to say that I am unsympathetic to some very real difficulties that government entities face under the public records law. I am very much aware that this law was written in 1973, when our workplaces did not have nearly the volume of electronic records that public bodies must deal with today. And I'm also well aware that the changes made to the law since 1973 have consisted almost entirely of the creation of hundreds of additional exemptions, each working to make a new kind of record unavailable to the public. Of course, some records probably should be unavailable to the public. Many of you have worked with me in this building, know that I'm a staunch advocate for personal privacy, and our government necessarily collects a lot of sensitive information about individuals. Public bodies have custody of student records of young people in our schools and universities, tax returns from wage earners in the state, financial information from recipients of public benefits, health information about patients, and other things that similarly deserve protection. The need to safeguard sensitive information, combined with the volume of records in a contemporary workplace, can make responding to public records requests very difficult. But unfortunately, there are sometimes other reasons for public bodies to resist disclosing public records. It can be uncomfortable to disclose records related to a program that has not succeeded, for example. Leaders may face difficult questions about their engagement, their choices, or even the actions of their subordinates. Or they may be annoyed by a requester who seems very interested in their activities for no apparent reason. Responding to public records requests can be expensive, time-intensive, and laborious. It sometimes means pulling individuals away from other very important tasks. This can be particularly true in our smaller cities, our counties, and agencies. It is not always easy to embrace the principles of open government. But even though it can be hard, tough questions and interested constituents are simply part of the deal when it comes to running a democratic government. So when I decided to take up the issue of public records reform, I knew that success would require hearing from stakeholders on all sides of the issue. So I decided to create what is now called the Attorney General's Public Records Task Force. I wanted this group to be bipartisan and bicameral from day one. I'm therefore especially grateful to my legislative task force members, Senators Lee Beyer and Jeff Cruz, and Representatives Ken Helm and John Huffman, for their time and their energy and their proven commitment to this work. We also have members representing media, state and local governments, advocacy groups, and the public, and quite a number of them are present today. This task force has been meeting for more than a year now. In addition to regular meetings each month, we have held four public comment sessions around the state in Salem, Eugene, Portland, and Bend. I have been very happy with the progress the group has made toward consensus reforms on a number of important issues under the public records law. Senate Bill 481 is the product of the deliberation of this task force. It proposes meaningful changes in three key areas. First, SB 481 addresses the amount of time public bodies have to respond to a records request. Current law has vague requirements that public bodies provide proper and reasonable access to records. This standard is very difficult for public records requesters to enforce, and the task force heard several complaints about requests that seem to disappear into a black box. Senate Bill 481 sets clear expectations. It requires a public body to acknowledge the receipt of a public records request within 5 business days. As soon as reasonably possible, but no later than 10 business days later, the public body must either completely respond to the request or provide a written statement to the requester explaining when the public body expects that to be done. This bill includes important safety valves for our smaller offices, making clear that responding to a public records request should not impair the other necessary functions of that office by creating a staffing crisis. Second, Senate Bill 481 encourages a culture of transparent government by making a very strong policy statement in favor of Oregonians' access to their government and its records. Our public meetings law has a very strong policy statement that describes its purpose, to make sure that Oregonians are aware of government decisions and the reasons for those decisions. A similarly robust legislative message about the importance of the public records law will help public officials and the judiciary honor Oregon's commitment to transparency. Senate Bill 481 also encourages governments to embrace transparency by protecting government bodies and government employees when they disclose records. The bill creates immunity from suit when the government discloses information in a good faith attempt to comply with our disclosure laws. And it provides that any privileged information accidentally disclosed by a public body remains privileged so that it can't be used in court. Privileged information generally does not have to be disclosed, but disclosure can certainly happen when large public records requests ask for hundreds, thousands, or even hundreds of thousands of documents. Third, Senate Bill 481 begins to address, and I emphasize begin, the huge amount of exemptions that have accumulated within our statutes since 1973. When the public records law was initially enacted, it contained 55 exemptions from public disclosure. Now there are more than 500. Our task force convened a subgroup to look at this issue. After extensive debate, we realized that assessing the need for so many exemptions is a task most appropriately left to the legislative branch. But we believe that we can help the legislature start to address that issue by creating a comprehensive, user-friendly electronic catalog of exemptions. That's my buddy here's job. Under Senate Bill 481, my office will be responsible for putting this catalog together, including not only the text of the various exemptions, but references to appellate court decisions and other guidance, along with a description of the kinds of public bodies and issues that a given exemption is likely to involve. Not only should this facilitate considered legislative review of these exemptions, but will provide a useful resource to members of the public and representatives of government in addressing their own public records issues. I am very proud of the suggestions that my office has developed with the guidance of the Public Records Law Reform Task Force, but I do recognize that there is more work to be done. Our task force heard a number of complaints about the sometimes high cost of obtaining public records. That is an issue that I expect the task force to take up after this legislative session. One of the reasons for costs and delays is the fact that our electronic systems, especially email, result in the creation of so many public records that they become very difficult to manage. I believe that that problem can only be mitigated if we start building our future electronic systems with public access in mind. I will ask my task force to look at that issue as well. And I would also encourage the members of this body to start thinking about that problem. In fact, I've given it a name. and that is transparency by design. And of course, we're more than willing to provide whatever assistance we can as the legislature thinks about how to address the almost 45 years worth of disclosure exemptions that our law has accumulated. Given that it has taken four decades to get to this point, I hope it is not too surprising that Senate Bill 481 does not try to solve every problem at once. It is my hope that this task force will continue our work and bring further proposals to your consideration in the future. But I firmly believe that Senate Bill 481 makes a great start toward improving Oregonians' access to their government. At this point, I would be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
So I really appreciate you putting this together, and I especially appreciate you being here and explaining it to us. I think it goes a long way to alleviating some of the issues in this area. I think there are other things that need to be done, and we need to look carefully at those. The governor is helping with some of that, and we'll be looking at that as well. And I have some ideas myself, as a matter of fact. So we're going to be looking at this issue for a while, and hopefully we will come up with something really good at the end. And I think this is probably going to be a big piece of it. So thank you very much. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Riley, Vice Chair DeBoer, and members of the committee. Please invite us back if you would like to have some additional answers or commentary. We appreciate it.
Thank you. So I'm going to have three folks come up. Nick Budnick, Lori Statsonspiel, I'm going to get this wrong, I know, and Morgan Allen.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee, first-time testifier, let me apologize in advance for my nervousness. For the record, my name is Nick Budnick. I'm a reporter for the Portland Tribune newspaper. I'm appearing today on behalf of the Oregon Territory Chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists, known as SPJ. I've filed requests under Oregon Public Records Law at all levels of government since 1999. In December, I succeeded Les Zeitz in representing SPJ on the Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum's Public Records Task Force. Oregon SPJ's 200-plus members applaud the intent of this bill to address issues of timely access to public records. Without public records, the public, including lawmakers, would lack crucial information on issues like abusive and dangerous conditions in Oregon's foster care system, on police misconduct, on poor contracting that leads to costly IT debacles, and on school administrators' high tolerance for lead in their students' drinking water. In our experience, public records are crucial to not just informing the public, but keeping officials honest and in deterring waste and bad behavior. We know this because we hear regularly from conscientious public servants, both on and off the record, who tell us and express appreciation for articles or the disclosure of public information that is of great importance. The real key to public records and to transparency in a functioning democracy is that that access be timely. Unfortunately, that is not always how Oregon's law works. And I want to tell you guys about this just because a lot of this stuff does not always appear in print. It rarely appears in print, but in the trenches of where reporters are trying to access information that is truly in the public interest, there's tensions, there's discussions, there's negotiations. We deal with a lot of conscientious officials who believe in transparency and work diligently to make it a reality. However, this is not always the case. At times, there have been officials who have appeared to use foot dragging and delay as a conscious tactic. I've had officials tell me of their intent to use lawyers to delay a request that has no need for legal review, and that tell me that they can hang it up for weeks in a legal office to better suit their timing. Officials that talk about having sat on a record already through legal review for weeks because they've been having meetings to discuss how to deal with reporters over this document. On numerous occasions, officials have claimed a record does not exist, thus preventing its disclosure, only to later have reporters discover that this claim was not accurate. That's just what full-time reporters deal with. You can imagine what it's like for the general public. The AG's task force heard from numerous Oregonians from a variety of backgrounds complaining about delays and the need to beef up Oregon's laws to be as effective as other states' laws that have much more stringent timelines. SB 481 attempts to further the legislature's intent that is embodied in existing Oregon law. It would do so by imposing benchmarks on timeliness. The goal is to ensure agencies engage with public records requesters in a timely manner to engage productively, to narrow requests, to make them less onerous for agencies, and allowing them to process their requests without unnecessary delay. This bill comes at a time, a crucial time, I believe, when interest in government and the need for public information is increasing. As we've all seen in recent years, media outlets have fewer resources than ever, and they are less equipped than ever to deal with tactics of foot dragging and delay. To the members of SBJ, that's what makes this bill so important. SBJ is part of ongoing talks to hone the language of this bill, and we believe those efforts continue to be productive. I'd like to call your attention to two areas of this bill that SBJ believes are particularly important. Unlike other states with more stringent deadlines on responding to requests, many with 10 business days or less, this bill allows 15 business days or 3 weeks, no matter how trifling or easy that request may be, say forwarding an email that takes 30 seconds. This is interesting in light of the safety valve, what we call the safety valve language, that is intended to protect small agencies from onerous requests that could impair their ability to deliver core functions to the public. We are highly sympathetic with that aspect of responding to public records requests. However, as written, the safety valve applies to all agencies equally, no matter their size, and not just to onerous requests. SPJ believes the language as written in some circumstances could detract from timely access to important public information. This bill needs more explicit language to better reflect the circumstances for the safety valve for which it is intended. People talk a lot about the cost of responding to public records. They don't talk about the benefit of public records and the cost of not providing public records in a timely way. In our belief, those costs, those expenses of not providing transparency are tremendous. Not as easy to quantify, but just as tangible. Take a look at the records request in 2015 where Jeff Manning and Ted Sickinger were looking through energy invoices and found a forged invoice, putting the state in a position to file a lawsuit to recoup $12 million for the state. Not only that, but that triggered an audit that found numerous examples of questionable and irregularities that potentially could save the state much more than $12 million. You've got tremendous other examples of deterring bad behavior that this law allows. And finally, I want to talk about, in context, this bill is as the Attorney General discussed, is part of a larger package of reforms that need to take place, reforms that can save money, cut inefficiencies, and give local officials and state officials new tools to differentiate between requests that are truly in the public interest and that are not. You've already talked about SB 106. I apologize, our 200-plus members were all on deadline that day. But we do think that that bill has tremendous potential to really assist in saving money and ensuring the public trust in government. We also are very optimistic about the Attorney General's concept of transparency by design and also the possibility of giving government officials clear direction on fee waivers in future bills. In closing, Oregon SPJ wants to commend Attorney General Rosenblum for convening the task force and creating an atmosphere by which it could make significant progress. Unlike many who've tackled this issue before her, the Attorney General has gotten the ball pretty far down the field. SPJ requests the assistance of committee members, as well as others on the task force, in taking this the rest of the way and producing a bill that truly advances the public interest. Thank you for your time. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Any questions? Thank you very much. I'm going to ask you to sit still, not you, to sit. You can leave.
Okay.
Thank you. You guys to sit still. Senator Cruz, would you come up and
I gotta sit next to you.
Welcome.
Thank you for accommodating me, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Jeff Cruz, Senate District 1. I did a lousy job of scheduling. I had bills in two committees that were up first. But having said that, as one of the chief sponsors of this bill, I also want to thank the Attorney General for convening this group, and it was a very robust discussion, and I think we made a lot of progress. But I also want to point out that, and she would agree, that this is the first step in a process. Things we discovered, if you go, you know, everybody's got the ORSs in their office. That's a fairly large volume of books, and we find these provisions in virtually every one of those books. And one of the things the Attorney General is doing is compiling things into a list so we know where all of them are. And these protections, or if you want to call them that, have been added to the ORSs over time, and there's no coordinated way to look at them. It's our intention long term for the legislature to be able to take a look at those and try to make some sense of it, simplify things, and find out so we can determine what really should be protected information, because there is a lot of information that should be protected, mostly information on citizens. And but there are also some protections on agencies that may not necessarily be appropriate. So I'm hoping that this work will continue. And I'm sure the Attorney General is more than willing to continue this effort, and so we can take the next step and create a public record system that is understandable and as simple as we can make it, so that people know when they can get access, how they can get access. The timelines in this legislation for response, I think, are appropriate timelines. Because we're dealing in some cases with some relatively complicated issues, and we need to make sure that we do it right. So thank you for accommodating me. I think this is a very good first step, and it's very important that we pass this bill.
Questions? Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming to talk to us today. So
can I leave now?
You can.
Okay.
Chair Riley and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Morgan Allen here on behalf of the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators, and I'll just add to the list of kudos to the Attorney General and her staff for the process. There was ample opportunity for stakeholders to express their opinions. There were many drafts. The meetings were very well run, so we appreciate the opportunity to get feedback. And from the K-12 perspective, we are generally supportive of the bill and the deadlines and the provisions within the bill. There's one particular area we wanted to bring to the committee's attention. We've also brought this to the attention of the Attorney General's office and other interested parties. Specifically around the idea of the safety valve. K-12 school districts and education school districts, as you know, run on slightly different schedules than the rest of the world. So, for example, we have spring break, Christmas vacation, summer vacation, and during those periods, large portions of our staff are on vacation. In some cases, the school district might be shut down entirely. So we'd like to continue to work with the Attorney General's office and the committee, particularly around the safety valve. And I'll just give you one example that we would be concerned about. For a public records request comes in late on a Friday afternoon right before spring break starts. Under the bill, there's a 5 business day deadline to respond to that person. And for many school districts, there may not be any people available during spring break to actually make that initial response and notify the requester that it has been received and start the process. So we've suggested some language, which I know has caused a little bit of consternation, but our intent is truly to find a safety valve that works for our school districts and ESDs, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Chair, Lori Satinspiel for the Oregon School Boards. I just want to chime in briefly, background a little bit. When a public records request comes in for the school district and what they do with it, OSBA, we typically write policies, so when legislation is put in place, district has a better idea of what they might be needing to do with it. So a couple of sample policies that we give out to districts, and then they figure out how they want to handle their public records request. It's got, you know, disclosures. In the sample policy, we also ask that if it's going to take less than 30 minutes, we should not be charging. So I just wanted to let you know that we do already try to get at these as soon as possible, and we do have some guidance. Thank you.
Questions? So I apologize for not recognizing your last name, but
I've been called worse.
Okay, so that's great. Thank you very much. So Jeb Ladine, Dale Penn, and let's bring up Christian Tribal. Whoever wants to start.
Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Riley, Vice Chair DeBoer. My name is Jeb Ladine. I'm publisher of the News Register in McMinnville, and I am the representative on the AG Task Force for the Oregon Newspaper Publishers Association. ONPA represents in the ballpark of 80 newspapers around the state, community, and weekly and daily. A group that is probably one of the heaviest users of the public meetings, public records law, and public meetings law for that matter. But so we have a strong interest in this and have since it was written 40-some years ago. Basically, I just briefly want to sort of echo and support what Attorney General Rosenblum had to say, in that ONPA believes this is a good start on this area, that this is a good bill. We recognize that it couldn't tackle everything. It in the course of discussions over the past year, and I've been on the task force since the beginning, we talked about the fact that all of these 500-plus exemptions and the complex issue of fees were probably just too heavy to place on this bill and go into a legislative session, just too much to try to tackle at one time. But we appreciate these steps, the strong movement towards a policy statement, towards a response time set of rules, and certainly towards the categorization of exemptions and the elimination of liability for people that might disclose records that can by law be disclosed. There are, as been mentioned, some discussions, some amendments that are starting to be discussed, and a number of things that are subject to different concerns by different interested parties. We have found that the Attorney General's office is highly motivated to help bring parties together to discuss that language, to bring consensus on those. And so I would just say that the ONPA is extremely interested in participating in that process, and we see that ultimately strengthening this bill. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Riley, Vice Chair DeBoer, committee members. My name is Christian Trabel. I'm the founder of Opinion in a Pinch. It's a company in Portland that writes custom editorials for newspapers around the country. I'm also a 15-year chair of open government for the Association of Opinion Journalists. That's a national professional organization for editorial writers. I've worked with journalists in states all across the country on open government issues, including in Oregon, but have a wide breadth of experience. I'm not here, though, as a journalist today. I'm happy to answer any questions on journalism, but I think my colleagues in the room will do an excellent job of that. I want to tell you that this bill is not for journalists. This bill is for everyday Oregonians who file the majority of public records requests. When journalists seek public records, we typically know what we're doing. We go in, we talk to the custodian, the public body, we negotiate. In the worst case scenario, we have lawyers, we can sue for records. Average Oregonians don't have those opportunities. They often confront a morass of public records law that is confusing, and if they have only the code to go to, they're bound to make mistakes. They make overbroad requests. They may make inappropriate requests. They don't know about exemptions. It becomes difficult for the record holders and frustrating for the citizens. Senate Bill 481 would provide welcome clarity to the process for those residents and give them the opportunity to get information that lets them know what their government is doing. And that's the most important thing about public record law. It's not there to serve journalists. It's there to serve the people so that they can find out what their government is doing and hold their elected officials accountable. The bill's requirement that the Attorney General maintain a catalog of public records exemptions will prove particularly useful. Most people, even journalists, struggle to wade through the lengthy lists in the code. A single accessible list would be tremendously helpful and could potentially save time for records holders as well, who might receive fewer requests for exempt material. On the topic of exemptions, I urge you to maintain the statement of principle in Section 2 of the bill that exemptions must be construed narrowly in favor of the public's right to know. Empowering citizens to know what their government does should be the norm, subject to narrowly crafted exemptions, not subject to the whims of a public record holder who thinks something should be kept secret. Most important, however, is Section 4's creation of a deadline for the public body to fill a request or provide a reasonable estimate on when it will be complete. Oregon is among a small minority of states that does not have such a requirement. I spent a few minutes yesterday looking at the law in all 50 states. Vermont requires as few as 2 days for some records. 29 states require 10 business days or less. A handful more go to 15, and a few more, 20. Maryland goes to 30. Then there are 12 states that are like Oregon that have undefined requirements to greater or lesser extents. We are in the likes of Texas, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Alabama, Oklahoma, and a few more. For a state like Oregon that is a leader on so many issues, we have fallen behind on this one. And Senate Bill 481 is an excellent step to catch up. Oregonians deserve a notification within 10 days simply as a matter of courtesy. Few things are more frustrating and generate as much ire toward government as being left in an indeterminate red tape limbo without a clear exit point. As drafted, Senate Bill 481 includes an important safety valve for cases where a public body faces high hurdles in producing records. That is sufficient. Carving out specific exemptions to that requirement would overcomplicate things and create two classes of public records, those to which the public can expect access in a reasonable time period, and those that are somehow special and potentially extra hard to access at the discretion of a public body. I urge you to remember that public records ultimately belong to the public. Thank you for your time. I'm happy to answer any questions.
So I had a couple of things during that struck my brain here and said, let me ask about that. one of them, you just did a survey of all the states and what their requirements are. And did you happen to check and see how often they actually meet their requirements?
I'm afraid I did not. They don't usually put that in the code.
Okay. Then the other one is, and I agree with you that one of the things that we must do is work for the citizens. It's the newspaper folks know what they're looking for. They're going to be able to go to the new database and see, is this something I can get, and know what to do right away. The other folks won't be so apt to be able to do that. That's where the governor's bill comes in, someone to help them. And I think that those in combination are going to go a long way. We've got other things to do, but I think those bills in combination will do wonders for this. So... questions? Yes, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This came up, I think, last week, too. And to be honest with you, if you said this wasn't a bill just for journalists, I'd be more comfortable if it was, because I do trust Nick Budnick and Les Zeitz and those others to get the information and be responsible in the mainstream media. And I know I'm being a little bit facetious there, but... you don't need to be a journalist to know that landscape has changed dramatically from what it was 10 or 20 years ago, much less 40 when these original bills were passed. And so now it's not the journalists asking for emails that I have any problems with at all. It's the political opponents, the literally candidates coming in and using a public records request as a tool, as a way of getting even or slowing down things, or a blogger who disagrees with a vote that we have, saying, okay, well, I want to see every email that had anything to do with the environment in the last 2 years, or someone who's opposed to ODOT. I mean, you can imagine going to an agency and asking for a broad request, or someone going to the Attorney General and saying, okay, where's everything on this, who are not journalists, who are bloggers, who have very, obvious political agendas. When I read just sort of a cursory glance at the bill, I don't see anything that really gets at sort of controlling that, even if there is a way to control that. I do see that as a growing problem with our public records laws, to how much energy and expense does government pay to deal with this sort of dynamic that is very real and is happening now.
Well, respectfully, I disagree with you that is a problem. I would characterize that as citizens engaging with their government. Do some citizens make overly broad requests? Absolutely. And those are a problem. And that is where a bill like this and the other bill, Senate Bill, that's 106, I think, will provide outlets for those citizens who don't understand that some requests are too broad to narrow it down to what they're really after. Now, if they are using it, as you characterize it, inappropriately, I guess, I would say that most states do not differentiate between the reason for a public records request. The notion is that a public record belongs to the public. If some people choose to use it for political purposes, that's their right. If journalists choose to use it to write a story, that is their right as well. The other check on those overbroad requests is charging a reasonable fee for production of records. If it is going to take ODOT 100 man hours and you charge $20 per hour and you present a citizen with a $2,000 bill, most people are not going to want to pay that, and they will come back with a more reasonable request.
Thank you. That's a good answer. Thank you, Senator. So I see that a little differently myself, since I'm not an ex-journalist, and that is, I see that some of the journalists also use it for the same kind of purposes. They have political agendas as well. So,
well, certainly as an opinion writer and an editorial writer, I will concede that I have made requests at times with a political agenda in mind.
Yeah. I don't think that you should be denied that, but I want to make the point. You have political agendas as well.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Chair Riley, members of the committee. My name is Dale Penn. I represent the Oregon Association of Broadcasters. The Oregon Association of Broadcasters president, Keith Shipman, is unable to be here. He is a participating member of the AG's task force. And I wanted to just take a second and thank again Attorney General Rosenblum, everyone on this committee, as well as Senator Cruz and the stakeholders for participating in this group. The work they're doing is very important, and we appreciate that. So I'm here talking on behalf of the 200 radio and television station members of the Oregon Association of Broadcasters. As members of the media, they play an essential role in serving the public and maintaining the social contract between government and those governed by it. For the OAB, access to public records is a critical foundation for them to do their job. So I'm here to express support for 481, and as well as Senate Bill 106. We submitted something on the record earlier in the week. Public records, court records, and public meetings, they play a vital role in providing readers, viewers, and listeners with information they deserve to know. Whether the coverage centers on the White House or a local school board, that access to public information is one of the most important tools available to journalists. So we hope this bill and the ongoing conversations around public records reforms continues and yields positive results, and we're here to participate and help however we can. So thank you very much.
Questions? Thank you very much. So Jesse O'Brien, Mark Landauer, and Scott Winkles.
Hey, Mr. Chair. While they're getting situated, do you know, and I should have asked this question while the AG was up here, but she can hear the question now. In this task force, are we involving the CIO? It seems like as we're upgrading our computer systems and we're trying to consolidate things and make things, well, you know, more secure at the same time, we should be making things more open. And I'm wondering if that has been part of the discussion at all.
Do you want to come up? Yeah, come on in. We'll hold off these gentlemen for just a little bit.
Senator Thatcher, Mr. Chair, Michael Crone from the Attorney General's Office for the record. The CIO's office has not been a part of the task force. I don't think they've even addressed us, to be honest. We have heard a little bit from the state archivist, who is responsible for figuring out how public records are maintained, and she actually addressed the committee with respect to digital electronic software that manages records. I think, as the Attorney General mentioned in her speech, the notion of transparency by design, her testimony, sorry. Transparency by design is definitely an important one. I know that the governor asked DAS to convene a group among state agencies to look at that issue. I'm not sure if any of the governor's representatives are here to talk about the progress of that. But there's, I have been in meetings where leaders in state government have expressed the notion that we want ultimately to get to a point where what is available to the public is almost available without request. I think in many ways that's the only way to ultimately solve this problem. Of course, that means throwing resources at it that may not be available in this biennium.
True.
Right, and thank you for that. And I also think we, you know, we need to do this going forward. And going forward, I think that the state CIO and others will have to be involved to get this going. But we're going to have to be more involved than anybody. So thank you.
Yeah, of course.
So thanks, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Riley, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jesse O'Brien. I'm the policy director for OSPIRG, which is the Oregon State Public Interest Research Group. And thank you to the Attorney General for mentioning her involvement with our organization earlier. I am also a member of the Attorney General's Public Records Task Force, and we urge your support for this bill. We think it's a package of modest but meaningful steps to better secure the public's right to know. I'm not going to go on at great length about the merits of the bill. I think those have already been pretty eloquently laid out. But I would like to put my organization forward as an example of why this legislation is not just for journalists, because as an independent public interest and government transparency advocate, OSPIRG has been involved in many public records requests over our about 45 years of history in the state. And although in our experience, many public bodies go to great lengths to comply with these laws, the existing laws, and provide expeditious access to public information. We have experienced, on a number of occasions, a lack of uniformity in the processes and timelines, expectations, and interpretations of the law that have really underscored the need for legislation like this. This is just a package of modest steps. We think it's really important to, as a number of people have already said, to look at the multiplication of exemptions in Oregon's public records laws and do things to streamline them and eliminate any exemptions that do not serve a critical public interest purpose. But we think this law is an important step in the right direction, and we would urge you to support it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Riley, members of the committee. My name is Mark Landauer. I'm here on behalf of the Special Districts Association of Oregon. I was a member of the Public Records Task Force and would like to echo many of the remarks that have already been mentioned. However, I'd like to thank the Attorney General, Michael Crone, and frankly all the members of the task force. I think it was a very collaborative process, bringing a bunch of unique perspectives to the table. If nothing else, everybody gained a great deal more appreciation for people's understanding and positions surrounding the public records laws. I kind of bring a unique perspective here because in my capacity, I'm representing public entities, but my father, I don't admit this very often, but my father was a career journalist and was the executive editor of the Oregonian editorial page for more than 25 years. So I can assure you that I understand the need for and support the attempts here to create open, transparent government that simply breeds a public trust. There has been some mention of the safety valve, and I want to just put a little bit more meat to the bone, if I may, on that issue. Because I represent the special districts, we have 950 members across the state. 400 of those members are run by all volunteer staffs, and so bringing that idea to the table, they're not like Motel 6. The light isn't always on, if you will. And as a result, having strict timelines can really create a challenge. It almost creates a gotcha situation. And I don't think that that's anybody's intent whatsoever. I think we want this to work properly. So really getting this safety valve done properly is supremely important for this to work properly. And so really that's been the perspective that I've been trying to bring to the table. At the end of the day, I think we're very close to a real groundbreaking measure here in putting strict timelines with some flexibility on the books of what's been more than 40 years of public records experience. But with that, at the same time, we want to ensure that we don't put public bodies who in the vast majority of cases are producing these records in a very timely fashion because most records requests are really quite simple. But in cases, there are some complex issues. And for these very small districts or small government bodies, they don't necessarily have the sophistication to know what all 500 plus exemptions to disclosure there are on the books. And so this is it's a complex issue for these smaller entities that don't really have professional staff that have a familiarity with the public records law and training. So that's the point. Those are the main points I wanted to make. But I think we're very close to having a bill that's going to work for everybody. And I, again, like to thank the Attorney General and the other members of the task force because I do think we've done some excellent work here.
Thank you very much. And you bring up a point that, you know, is one of the things that I think we need is not just someone to say, you know, here's some help for the person who's asking for it, here's a little help for the agency, but some professional staff, possibly in the DAS somewhere, who can actually go out and offer assistance to the agency to get things done. And I think that's somewhere we need to go, maybe not right now because of budget constraints, but I think it's an area we need to move to. Indeed. So thank you very much for that.
My pleasure.
Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Scott?
Chair Riley, members of the committee, for the record, Scott Winkles representing the League of Oregon Cities. I apologize, I wasn't here. I was in another hearing getting ready
to testify.
He's
following me.
okay.
He was in hearing room A. I can attest to that.
Yes, I appreciate your vouching for my alibi, Senator. I won't repeat a lot of what Mark said. I will point out that Mark and I are actually the only two lobbyists left who negotiated the 2007 deal. Everybody else has moved on or retired, and I don't know what that says for this issue. But we each have a long history working on these issues. The safety valve for cities is an important issue. I think we have addressed some important concerns. So Mark talked about his smaller agencies. Also point out, City of Portland's Police Bureau receives between 1,100 and 1,400 public records requests a month, just the police agency. We've addressed the issue of volume. So if you're a high volume agency and you're simply getting inundated, some assistance making sure the timelines are flexible in that way is certainly helpful for them. Also, one of the interesting things about working on public records issues for local governments is that each level of government tends to view a public record in a different light. And whereas most of the public, I think, views them as emails or reports or memos and whatnot, for local governments, it also includes things like land use decisions, where you the city gets a request from a developer for every document related to the a parcel of land as part of their due diligence and seeking financing or whatnot. That's a very complicated matter involving securing IP permissions from map authors, special printing, hiring of temps in some cases, even for a city the size of Tigard, of 50,000, they've had some challenges. And so having that safety valve there is done correctly is important to us, and we look forward to continuing the conversation on these amendments.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who wants to speak to this issue? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing. And that is all we have on the agenda. So I'm closing the session. So thank you for closing the session. So thank you for agenda. So I'm closing.